This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A search is underway for a submersible with five people on board, 900 miles east of Cape Cod. The group was to view the wreckage of the Titanic and disappeared less than 2 hours into yesterday's journey. Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger.
We launched a C-130 aircraft to conduct an aerial search, both visual and radar of the scene.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Correspondent David Pogue was on board the submersible for a story that aired on CBS News Sunday morning.
On that sub at this moment are the pilot, a scientist, and three paying passengers.
At a cost of $250,000 each, the sub is one of a kind to view the wreckage of the Titanic 2.5 miles deep in the Atlantic.
What concerns me is this thing has seven different ways of returning to the surface.
But so far, no sign of it.
Officials in Mississippi are assessing the damage after multiple tornadoes overnight. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
Row after row of homes in Lewin, Mississippi were torn to shreds by a powerful tornado that touched down overnight. One person was killed and nearly two dozen were injured. Emergency responders scrambled to pull survivors from the rubble. Several people were transported to area hospitals.
Excessive heat warnings are covering much of Texas through Tuesday evening. The latest from KRLD's Alan Skaya.
The ambulance provider here in Fort Worth says 20 people got sick walking in a Juneteenth event and had to go to a cooling station and get water. Two people went to the hospital. Some say the weather took them by surprise.
With it raining, it was more humid.
I love the 8 o'clock hour because we had a lot of overcast. It was kind of cool, but by 11 o'clock, it was really hot.
The National Weather Service says the heat index could reach 120 degrees over the next 2 days. Over much of Texas from the Oklahoma border to the Rio Grande. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Fort Worth.
Juneteenth marks the day the last enslaved African Americans in the U.S. learned of their emancipation. In Fort Worth, Texas, the woman known as the grandmother of Juneteenth, Opal Lee, took part in the annual Walk for Freedom.
I'm impressed with what has happened, but more has to be done. More people need to be aware of the significance of Juneteenth.
President Biden in Palo Alto, California today, focused on climate change, visiting a nature center, and touring coastal wetlands. Mr. Biden says his administration is beefing up its approach to fighting climate change.
We're investing in the people and places that have been hit the hardest, but who are also on the front lines of leading us forward.
On Wall Street today, the markets were closed for the Juneteenth holiday. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & GTWLawyers.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's The Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com. Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Jaga. This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I want to say happy Juneteenth to everybody out there. And then also really excited about the, well, they're called killer whales, but the orcas are, that are sinking all the rich people out in the ocean there. I just want to give them a special shout out. You know, it's just, and it's 90 degrees here, and it's global warming happening here in the Twin Cities. But hey, we have a Nancy Bolio on the phone from MN350. Nancy, can you hear me?
I can, and I hope our listeners can hear me.
Yes, I can. Great. So you're on. Hey, good to hear from you. Haven't talked to you in a while. Happy Juneteenth. I know you're in a celebration up there in the deep north. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Well, Miigwech for having me. It's always an honor to be here. Yeah, I'm actually here at the Diamond Point Park by the Bemidji State University. We're actually at a Juneteenth celebration. And for all of our listeners out there that don't know what Juneteenth is, well, it's a holiday celebrated on June 19th to commemorate the emancipation of the enslaved people in the United States. The holiday was first celebrated in Texas or on the date in 1865 in the aftermath of the Civil War. Enslaved people were declared free under the terms of the 1862 Emancipation Proclamation. So, yeah, they were actually freed 3 years before this date, Robert, but not everyone caught wind. And so they were all, you know, they all knew in 1865 on Juneteenth. And so actually this is, I don't know if they want to call it a holiday, but it's a time to celebrate our Black relatives and their freedom. And let's talk about the history of this country and build awareness on that. So I think, you know, watching our non-Native people, you know, show up today and try to learn more about, as Americans, what this country has done to not just the Native people, but the Black people as well. And so I think it's a good way to remind the community that our Black people are here strong too.
Yeah, and I also want to remind our listeners out there that a lot of our relatives have African-American blood in them, too. So we have a lot of double winners out there that we're celebrating, too, that are also Native American and African-American descent. So right. Give them a big shout-out, too.
Right, and, you know, some of our ancestors, too, back when these peoples were freed, they were basically left, you know, kind of out to hang out to dry. And because they no longer were part of these plantations, so there was no, you know, food and no way to take care of themselves. And so when they were freed, they were told, go away and don't come back. We don't want to see you again. And it was, you know, some of our southern tribes here in the United States that took care of the black people. And so they've always, I think, been a big part of who we are. And, yeah, we have mixed relation. And I think we just love unconditionally, right, Robert? And are always going to be in our DNA as people. And, yeah.
Right. And, you know, and over the years, I know colonizers and people have tried to divide us, but there's so much more in common with the Native people and our African-American relatives that we enjoy celebrating and also just reach out to our relatives that we're here. We're still here and we're all fighting the good fight for each other. And, you know, just a quick thing, too. I know when American Indian Movement started, they were really taking a lot of what the Black Power movement had done and done the same thing. And so there was a lot of early with American Indian Movement allies that were supporting the American Indian Movement, which really moved things along in a good way early on. And, you know, Nancy, I don't know about you, but I know there was a lot of people that were Italians and Latinos that were really Native Americans until AIM came out and made us all proud to be and not afraid to be Native Americans and speak up.
Right. And I think, you know, throughout history, and I think it's well into the future, we're going to find, you know, circumstances where we really need to lean on each other and be pillars for each other's communities and, you know, take that power back. Because again, we have to keep showing up and reminding this country that they do have an obligation to be good treaty people and, you know, live in a better way. And I think, you know, we put our power together collectively. There's so much more we can do, so much more we can win. But I think it's, you know, again, we couldn't ask for a better time in history to really, you know, take back what is ours. And we're going to do that in a good way. And we're going to continue to show up and do what we do. And that's what excites me about the work that I do. And for the listeners out there that don't know who I am Nancy Bolio. I'm from Leech Lake. I work for Minnesota 350. I'm the Northern organizer. And I've been doing this work for like 6 years. And Robert, I couldn't ask to be in a better place. And, you know, throughout, I think the last year and a half, there's been some challenges, but you know, that saying, what doesn't break you only can make you stronger. There's a lot of truth to that. And I couldn't ask to be in a better place.
That's great to hear. And, you know, I just I can't wait to see you come down here and meet with MN350 and bring my blanket. Ho-wa.
Great. Yeah. Maybe when we get to the bargaining table, Robert, we got some good news at 350.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we can want to talk about it or can talk about it or if it's too early to talk about it, but it's exciting things happening.
It's not never too early to talk about it. You know, we went on social media and made the announcement, but on June 12th, yeah, Minnesota 350 workers unionized and a majority of us at 350 asked for and received a voluntary recognition as the newest member of Workers United. So, I want to give a big shout out to Workers United and our executive director, T. McClency at Minnesota 350 for honoring that. And again, you know, sometimes organizers need to organize, but we're really incredibly excited to move forward together to strengthen our work on climate justice. So, the Workers United is actually the union that helped Starbucks become a union. So,
oh, wow.
We were kind of like they did their little review of who 350 was and did a little research, and they onboarded to help us unionize. And we had some meetings, and it went a lot easier than we thought, Robert, and we couldn't be more happy. And for the people out there that don't know who Workers United is, well, they're a progressive and a dynamic labor organization. They're shaped by their predecessor unions and leadership who are relentless in their pursuit for social and economic justice for all workers. They represent the aspirations and needs of the members and work to empower the members to become leaders in their workplaces and communities as well. So, you know, I'm not going to share a whole lot today, but what I do know is that we're just going to make MN350 a better place for all of us. And I think just knowing the impact that Workers United predecessors unions made, you know, it can't be overstated. In fact, they have been credited with pioneering social unionism, which Workers United continues to embrace today. And guided by their legacy, they have signed the way from leading the charge on progressive causes. And today, through actions more than words, they continue to advocate for workers' rights, civil rights, economic justice, gender equity, sexual equality, environmental justice, immigration, and education rights. So that sounds like exactly where we want to be, right, Robert?
Right on. Hey, being a former union member, a high school teacher for over 30 years, I can relate. That's great news. Unionize the whole damn country. That's what I say. Hey, thanks, Nancy. I know you're busy, and thanks for stopping in for this quick report.
Yes, and, you know, I really want to get back on for Tuesday night, Robert, because I really want to do an update about the camp and what we've done to secure selling the sale, the bid of the forest. And so I got some more good news to share, so I look forward to sharing that with our listeners next Tuesday. So, Miigwech, for having me tonight.
Well, we can have you on tomorrow, too, so that sounds good. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened. I'll be back, and we'll be back with Dr. Stately. Stay with us. Ho-wa!
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You've heard me talk about the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program. Now hear from someone who's actually done it, me. Our kid's car, the 2006 Toyota Sienna, served us well for 17 years, but it was finally time to say goodbye. The We Buy program is really simple. I gave them some basic information, we set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they gave me an estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're going to have Dr. Stately on here in a few minutes. He's going to come on. But Haley, I don't know, we weren't on when the report came out last week. We had done a show with State Senator Mary Kunish and really celebrating ICWA. But the Minneapolis report that came out, I don't know if you saw that, but it was mind-blowing. Yeah. And, you know, just one of the stats I put up, I don't know if you saw, I put that up on Facebook, which was kind of like a mind-blowing kind of stat, too, about
all of the people compared to, like, yes, minority groups in Minneapolis and stuff with the police department.
Yeah, it was like the per capita rates of force used against white people compared to Black and Native Americans adjusted to the population shares, and you know, neck restraints. So there's one little white person in there, and then there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 African Americans, and then there's 13 per capita that were in neck restraints. So chemical irritants, one white person to 2, 4, 5, 10, 15, 16 African Americans and 4 Native Americans. Tasers, one of my favorite things, being tased. We have 1 out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 African Americans and 17 Native Americans. So 17 out of 1 and 8 out of 1 African Americans were tased more frequently than a white person, whether they were being pulled over. And this is from January 1st, 2016 to August 16th, 2022. Mm-hmm. So these numbers are things that we probably knew about, but here they are in black and white with the report, which was a stunning report, Haley.
Yeah. Wasn't it like 92 pages or something?
Right.
It was very long and descriptive, which I don't know is a good thing or a bad thing, but...
Well, it was deeper, you know. It wasn't just my opinion, which would have been a half a page. You know, you've seen my emails, 2 or 3 words, but it was in-depth. And what does that tell us about Minneapolis police and what's happening? I'm telling you, when I was young, which was a long, long time ago, you never wanted to be arrested in Minneapolis, and I was a St. Paul boy, Haley, and that was always the talk. St. Paul police were pretty chill, unless you pushed them, but Minneapolis police were definitely in line with L.A. police, and we remember that whole O.J. thing, and maybe you're too young to remember that, but the corruption of the Los Angeles Police Department basically... Yeah. Helped OJ become free man for the murder of his wife and another person who was bringing glasses over to her. So the comparison was bizarre back then, but here it is. How many years later? 20, 30 years later? And it's the same song and dance.
Right. And so was this report done because of what happened to George Floyd a couple years ago?
I think it was before that, because it says the report was that, well, at least the statistics were from 2016. So I think you're right. It was because of what happened with the George Floyd incident for sure. You know, so that's what we're dealing with here. In this beautiful Minnesota with the 10,000 lakes and things like that.
They need to be held accountable for sure. Because I just know, like, even I had some friends who went and protested in Minneapolis after the George Floyd thing. And, you know, I had some friends of color, but I also had, you know, some of my white friends there. And the way that they were being treated by the police department just for protesting something like that.
Right.
It blew my mind. Like, I had friends who were buying gallons and gallons of milk jugs just to help people out of their pain from being pepper sprayed, you know, over and over and over again for standing in a street.
Right. But. Well, and that was that, you know, with the George Floyd thing that happened, and it's almost like a it's almost like it didn't happen. And the police and the helicopters and, you know, I live 3 miles from where George Floyd was murdered. And I'm telling you, it was frightening over here in St. Paul. There was gas stations being burned down and things that were happening from outside people, outside forces. You know, we saw trucks with no license plates come through our neighborhood. So there was a lot of people that, that, you know, joined in this protest and made it really ugly. And I just want to remind everyone that of that. It was totally unbelievable, mind blower of a situation. You know, I went the first day, and Haley, if you remember this, I do not believe that the vaccine was out and there was 10,000 people at where George Floyd was murdered. And I remember we had rope to show how many feet to stay away from, to stay away from you, so you don't get COVID. And that was a scary thing. I just called Dr. Stately. I want to see if he's on. Dr. Stately, are you there? No, I guess not. I guess not. So, yeah. So, it just a reminder of that and that situation. And I don't know, Haley. You saw, and we're going back to talking about George Floyd, but you saw the other video during the court, and we never saw that before. The police cameras were. Mm-hmm. People were begging the police officers to get off his neck.
Yeah. As they should have. I mean, I feel like anyone standing there would have hopefully done the same thing. I know I would have, but yeah, it's a big topic. Definitely could do a whole show about that, but.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it's something that you'll never forget as a younger person. It's just like another thing for me. I don't want to forget. Do you know what I mean? Because things go by. You know, when we do talk to Dr. Stately, we do talk about COVID. We forget sometimes that, man, there was no vaccine for the longest time. And our elders and first speakers were dying in Indian country. And the other part of that, when there was a vaccine, Indian country was like the first to roll out vaccines for people, and were freely giving them to everybody that were in the communities. I went out to Ho-Chunk, and it was an amazing thing to see all these people getting vaccines and still getting vaccines. And I have to knock on wood, Haley. I don't know about you, but I have not gotten COVID. And I'll tell you, when I started getting the vaccine, I was not afraid to go out and about. And so I'm knocking on wood, but
I know, especially with everyone being outdoors and there's more events, you know, you're closer to people. And I was just at a concert. When was that, last weekend or 2 weekends ago? And it was outside, but I still was thinking, wow, I'm really close to a lot of people right now. So yeah, I'm still thinking about COVID. It's still out there.
Cool. Yeah. So I don't know. It's a crazy thing to see this report in black and white. And I think really the things that, that we know, that we hear from our relatives, we experience, I mean, you know, with, you know, people getting arrested, and now they don't want to get arrested. They just get driven around, you know, all these tactics that the Minneapolis police did with the rooftop land over there. And finally that the community gets that area, they have to buy it. But still these battles that are still happening, and, you know, we need to come together, be together and talk sense to each other. And I think that's what we try to do here with Native Roots Radio, is to amplify what's going on in Indian country and talk about things. So, hey, I think we're going to have Dr. Stately on next.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. A Coast Guard search and rescue operation is underway off of Newfoundland for a submersible carrying five people to visit the wreckage of the Titanic. CBS Sunday Morning correspondent David Pogue traveled on that sub for a segment last year.
First of all, it is bitterly cold at those depths. There's no heat on this thing. Second of all, they bring only a sandwich. They don't expect to be down there for more than 10 hours.
Just in, six people have been injured in a shooting in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It happened in an area near a Juneteenth event. A reported tornado in Moss Point, Mississippi earlier today. Overnight, a tornado hit the city of Florence, killing at least one person, resident Alfred Cavalier.
My picture window, it blew out. Then everything was over with. But when I came outside, I was shocked to see everything like this here, all the devastation.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has met with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Secretary Blinken saying afterwards,
"We both agree on the need to stabilize our relationship."
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal.
Vinegar is since 2009. That's Vinaigrette. Xerxes Avenue and 50th Street in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, it is, and those guys do got such great work. We're giving a quick call out to Dr. Stately. I think I might have him. Dr. Stately, are you there?
Hello?
Dr. Stately, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
You're on the air. I can hear you.
Well, hello.
I've always wanted to say that. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I know, right?
Go ahead, Shakopee. Yeah. What do you got?
I feel like Gail Weathers, on the scene trying to connect.
Well, happy Juneteenth, really. Yes. And it's first one here in Minnesota, and excited. We were talking about that, Haley and I were talking a little bit about the Minneapolis police report, and now you're caught up. Ho-wah.
I know, that's exciting. Happy Juneteenth. First one for Minnesota, not the first one for Native American Community Clinic.
Right on.
We made Juneteenth a holiday for our clinic 2 years ago in 2021.
Wow.
The year after George Floyd's murder. And that was really an intentional decision. We were like deep in the, kind of coming out of like all kinds of challenges. COVID, we're coming out of like, the aftermath of the George Floyd murder and the uprising that happened across all of Minnesota or Minneapolis and actually all across the nation, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had already been doing some racial equity work within the clinic by that point in time. But one of the things that was really clear, we talked about it as leadership, and we're like, we decided to give up, like, we took away President's Day because one thing, we didn't want to celebrate and honor dead white men anymore. And number two, we figured like people would appreciate having an extra day off in the summertime way more than they would in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made a lot of more sense too. And it was one way to actually acknowledge the importance of such a historic event, historically, but also the impact that it was having in our community. So,
yeah, it came on the heels, Dr. Stately, of that Minneapolis report, which Haley and I were talking about. Per capita, Natives are getting beat up more than anyone.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting to hear that and to see that being acknowledged publicly. Something I think we profoundly knew, mm-hmm. Anecdotally and experientially through our community for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually something that I think is interesting sort of remark. Like other previous Department of Justice reports have shown things like, we have higher rates per capita of being murdered by law enforcement than African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that data gets us an example of how, like, we become invisibilized within large and national data sets.
Right.
And even regional data sets, because we're such a small population, so people don't like take the time to disaggregate data and show that like the actual, proportional or impact of things in our community are greater.
Yeah, great example of that was I think CNN put us as others or something like that in a poll. Do you remember that? Not that long ago. Did we do?
No, sorry. What'd you say? I'm sorry, I was distracted.
No, that's cool. I said CNN put us into a others segment in a poll, or strange people or something like that. And it was like a totally bizarre, but do you remember that?
Indigenous creatures?
That's another one.
Yeah, we get like we get the other category, the strange people, or strange others, other strangers, and then indigenous creatures. Makes us rather unique,
right?
But I think part of it is like I think that is always the challenge. I've had a couple conversations with family and also colleagues about some of this stuff already. It's like one of my family members was like, well, a lot of African American people are upset because, the report states clearly that what something they've already known, right? Something that they clearly have known for years. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, why does it take a federal investigation to legitimize and to give credence to something we have phenomenologically been experienced for generations, right? Mm-hmm. Something it should not take this level of like involvement or this level of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. To see the obvious. Well, but I think the benefit of that is that like those things are important. They're important to codify those things because you can't really bury a Department of Justice report. Mm-hmm.
Well,
not when it's done on a national level.
Well, one thing I'm curious to hear your take on is a lot of times we see these reports. And then nothing happens. And it was like, that was a great report. And now it's buried in the news. And now we're on to killer whales killing Republicans in their boats.
I missed that one. Killer whales are killing Republicans?
Yeah. I'll send you that article.
I don't know that I would be too upset about that right now. just my own personal opinion. But it'll be kind of fascinating to know how the killer whales are actually killing them, actually. I think one of the things that I think, so part of, I think what happens in a situation like this, it's kind of like, I do realize like it has been a long, long, long road to get to some justice in some ways. But I think, and is it frustrating? Yes, it's super frustrating. Is it angering? Yes, it's angering. It's angering that it takes so long. That is the actual nature of the problem when something is built into structures, right? Mm-hmm. So this gives us an opportunity to have a discussion about how, like, the stuff that's going on that the DOJ talks about within the Minneapolis Police Department, within the justice structure itself, within Hennepin County and Minneapolis, mm-hmm. and the city of Minneapolis, even like think about it, it's probably actually broader than that. Probably has to sort of kind of goes further into like the entire state, right?
Mm-hmm.
To recognize that, the amount of effort that it takes to change a structure that has been made so invisible for so long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And takes a tremendous amount of work, right?
Right.
And yes, it's frustrating, and yes, it's irritating that that the people that are most burdened by it also have to take on the lion's share of the work of trying to dismantle that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And these are the things that we've been doing since generations. This is like, talking to somebody the other day, they're like, well, yes, this is the report says this, but like this is actually why AIM started. AIM started in a response in the 1960s because of what people were experiencing in the urban core with our Native men and our Native young people,
mm-hmm.
and Native women, right?
Right.
And so part of it is like, but I also think it's important for us not to lose, as Dr. King was so eloquently said, keep your eye on the prize.
Right.
Don't, all this other stuff is distraction. Keep your eye on the prize. Progress is down there, right? Down the road a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we our children and our grandchildren and our great grandchildren, the future generation, require that we keep moving forward and not get distracted.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly. And so 10, 15 years ago, we were trying to, we've been working for the last 10 or 15, 20 years on MMIW. Look where we are today
right.
with MMIW, right? So progress does take a long time to happen, and achievement of some of these big dominoes falling do take a tremendous amount of work, but the beauty of when it happens, and things will fall faster. It's our responsibility as citizens to continue to hold, the Department of Justice and Minneapolis Police Department and the mayor and the city council and all these other people that are sort of part of, like, that are baked into the system that have power and influence, our AG, all these folks, these are all people that have the ability to sort of continue to sort of chip away at this problem in our society in partnership with us. And it requires partnership. It requires us holding them responsible and reminding them. We can't get tired and we can't get weary. We have to remind them.
Right.
The other choice is not a choice at all. Like, this is not something this is not something I don't want my children to go back. I don't want us to backslide and have my children, my grandchildren have to sort of fight this fight again.
Right.
Right. I want us to benefit from this and I want us to push forward. Is it hard? Is it infuriating? Is it, completely effed up? Yes. Mm-hmm. But there really is no other choice but to push forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Stately, it wasn't that long ago, and you were living in California, I guess 30 years is a long time. I'm just old, but we remember police officers put Native Americans in the trunk of their cars. And that is etched in my mind still to this day, not that long ago.
Yeah, these are stories I grew up hearing, right? I grew up hearing stories about the things that would happen. Like, and I think part of it is to recognize, it's also important that we also acknowledge the harm and we acknowledge the trauma of living under those conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that is important to say on this day, June 19th, mm-hmm. Juneteenth, is that the celebration that years before there was this celebration, emancipation did actually happen, right?
Right.
And the reason we have June 19th is because slaves are not told that they were freed even after the proclamation was signed, right?
Yep.
So people continue to abuse them, mistreat them, and outright lie to them, either lie to them or keep the truth from them through omission, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, that there's a lot of trauma still within our communities around these kinds of ways in which, white supremacy has sort of impacted our lives in very real concrete ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important not to lose sight of that and to acknowledge that as well. And to remind people the significance of this.
Absolutely.
One of the things that this means is the report has been released publicly through a public conference, right? Through a press conference. It's been published for everybody to see. Once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Exactly.
Right? If you try to bury your head in the sand and you try to ignore it and try to quote unquote unknow it, that demonstrates people's willful ignorance is what that's called. And willful ignorance comes at a cost, not just for the people that experience it, but for the person that actually demonstrates it as well. They can be held responsible for willful ignorance in a court of law.
Dr. Stately, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us?
Sure.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, John, I heard you're turning 65 this year. Time to start comparing your Medicare insurance options.
I'm so overwhelmed with all the different Medicare companies and plan designs. I don't even know where to begin.
Really? I worked with CompareYourMedicare.com, and they made my Medicare decisions seem easy.
Really? What do they do?
CompareYourMedicare.com represents several of the top Medicare insurance companies in Minnesota. A local licensed agent will help you compare Medicare plans to determine which products best meet your needs and budget.
Hi, this is Jared with CompareYourMedicare.com. We're a local small business that prides itself in helping our community with their Medicare needs. Medicare is complex, but it doesn't have to be. Whether you're planning to retire early or work past Medicare eligibility at age 65, give us a call. We can guide you through how and when to apply for Medicare. Go to CompareYourMedicare.com or call 952-465-0074 to schedule a consultation. CompareYourMedicare.com is part of the Minnesota Health Insurance Network of Agents.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
It was good. We heard Dr. Stately howling. That's awesome. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, on the Franklin Avenue corridor. And we're just talking about Juneteenth and I was talking about killer whales, but Dr. Stately wasn't hip. I sent you that link. You can check
on
it.
I saw that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. I really, really, we went a little long on the last segment, and I hope our affiliates picked up what you said. But I could you just summarize that last part? Because I want them to hear that again if it was cut off. Very powerful stuff, Dr. Stately.
Oh, I think I just basically said that, you know, I know it is difficult and challenging for us to march forward. But, you know, in the words of the great Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, he said that he reminded us back years ago, you know, four years ago, to keep our eyes on the prize, you know, not to get distracted by other things that were not sort of like important things that would, you know, one of the things that I think, so I've heard a couple of different things through other folks' comments about the report. Some people surprised that, oh, you know, what do you mean natives are killed more often or just mistreated more often from police and black people? We don't often see that or hear that in the news. And that's because of like the fact that we're such a small population and we're invisibilized all the time in data sets and reports and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did say to some, I said to a relative of mine who's native and also to an African American friend of mine who I consider to be a relative. And I had this discussion with them at different times over like the last couple of days. I said, you know, one of the things that the colonizer is really good at is dividing and conquering Native people and Black people and other people of color and pitting them against each other, you know, making us think that the world operates in a zero-sum game.
Right.
Like, you get more of this, that means I get less of this. You get more acknowledgement, I mean, I'm not acknowledged, these kinds of things. And it is a way of distracting us and disorienting us and keeping us not focused on what's important. Dismantling racism as a structure and dismantling policing in healthcare, in education, in child welfare, you know, all of these ways in which racism and white supremacy shows up is really important to dismantle because it harms everybody. It even harms the white people, even though they don't realize it and they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so part of it is like, keep your eye on the prize, do the hard work. Acknowledge the hurt when it happens, because it's important that we acknowledge hurt and harm and pay attention to it. And then soldier on and move forward. Our future generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren deserve us to soldier on, keep our eyes on the prize, and continue to fight for justice. And it will happen.
Yeah.
It might not happen in our lifetime, you know, but it's our responsibility to do what we can do to hand off the baton to the next people that will take that war on and take that fight on. And that's our responsibility. That's who we are as Indigenous people, and who we are as, in this fight. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to say about I was listening to that station that we don't talk publicly about yesterday, and you know, the new city of Minneapolis police department police chief said on the radio the other night, he said, like, you know, some of his foot soldiers or some of the people, many of the people in the department who were really upset about the report, they were disheartened because it sounded like, you know, they were being, indicted, quote unquote, through this report by the actions of a handful of people who no longer are with the department, or who are no longer, you know, working there. They've even left, or they've been fired, or they've been indicted and charged, right? Those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And my response to that is like, what I want to tell that chief of police, and I want to tell anybody else who has that sort of narrative or that thought process, that argument, is that the indictment is about the department writ large. It's a structure, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody that works in that department, whether they're black, white, green, purple, orange, doesn't matter what your color is. It matters that if you're a member of that department and you are a leader in that department, you have a responsibility to do what's right and to do what's just. And the structure is sick. The structure is problematic. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to feel a certain kind of way, take the responsible act and move forward and do your part in dismantling that structure. Right?
Yep.
That's how you show up, and that's how you do your work. And that's a responsibility that every leader has. Like, if you step into a role in leadership, you have the responsibility for everything that came before you. Because if once you know something, you have to move and you have to work to change it. If you don't move and you don't work to change it, then you're as guilty and responsible as the people that came before you that created that structure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. That's
that's the nature of leadership. That's the nature of the way the world works.
Yeah. Wow. Really good to hear from you and hear these powerful words today, Dr. Stately. We only got a couple minutes left. How are you holding out on this heat and the smoke that's really toxic here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island?
It's pretty disturbing. You know, I think one of the things, we had a couple of days here where it was really windy. You know, it cooled down, and maybe we actually got a little bit of rain in a couple of different places in Minnesota, so the air cleared up. And so disheartening to sort of kind of like be back into this heat dome that we're under, and then also the air quality is once again a problem. So, you know, I always tell everybody, every opportunity I have, anybody talks to me about these kinds of things, I always say, like, you know, this really is about climate change. Mm-hmm. This is about, you know, the choices that we make every single day. I'm on my children all the time about shutting off the lights when they're not using it. You know, mm-hmm. I talk to them about, like, you know, that these things that we don't take for granted, these things that we don't pay attention to, there's a limited supply of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't all do our part, every single one of us has to do our part to try to make it different and try to make it better, right? I've been looking at electric vehicles and thinking about buying a new car, and I think I want to buy electric next.
Yeah.
And so, like, we all have to do our part. If it's so easy for us to say, like, well, so-and-so isn't doing it, which is what I hear with the argument from my 16-year-olds. I've been hearing it from my kids since they were 5 years old. Well, so-and-so does it. I'm like, well, that's not a responsible way to operate in the world. You know, we don't get a pass by saying somebody else does this. Therefore, it's okay for me to be able to support them. Right. We're all responsible for our own actions, and we're all responsible for our contribution to the whole. And if we don't pay attention to that, then we all suffer, every single one of us.
Perfect. Dr. Stately, I want to say Pinigi, thank you. And I also want to give you a belated Happy Father's Day. You are really raising some warriors there in a good way. And